The October 25th, 2021, regular town council meeting at 6:01. Roll call, please.
Brad Amos.
Present.
Matt Czarnecki.
Present.
Scott McVoy.
Present.
Randy Mobley.
Present.
Terry Langford.
Present.
Town Attorney Jacob Elder.
Present.
Town Manager Charlie Smith.
Here.
And Clerk Treasurer Michelle Miller is present.
Please join us with prayer. Reverend Job, we celebrate United Methodist Church and followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I invite everyone to bow their heads in prayer with me. Loving and wise God, I thank you for the gift of being here, being with neighbors. I thank you for those who have been called to lead and answered that call, and for all who come and speak on behalf of their neighbors as we all come together as fellow sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers and children, as we all love our town. Guide us. I thank you for the gift of life itself, for the gift of being of useful work, and for bearing appropriate responsibility. So let all the conversation be fruitful for everyone here, and we ask all this in your mercy. Amen.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend. Okay. Motion to amend or adopt the agenda is presented. We hope we have a motion to amend.
I'll make a motion to amend the agenda as presented. New business item number one.
We'll table that with that motion. So do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Matt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. All right. Motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
So
motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Matt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Approval of minutes submitted by the clerk treasurer, also posted upon our website.
So moved.
That motion by Matt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. We got the payroll too. I think that's all we got. Thank you, Randy. Any comments from the public on our agenda items this evening? Okay. We'll move right on along to our ordinances and resolutions. Our first ordinance is number 2020-R-027. It's our 2022 budget final adoption. This was read on its first reading in our last council meeting. And it's here in front of you of what all we have in front of us. It's like our adopted budget will be $5,817.00. Our adopted tax levy will be $2,527,906, with an adopted tax rate of 0.7222. All the other information is all here. Appreciate everybody's hard work and due diligence of getting this prepared and moving forward. So, anybody have any questions before we move forward with the vote approval? All right, with that said, I ask for a motion to approve the adopted budget.
Brad, you need a first reading.
I'm sorry.
You need a first reading. We just did a public hearing at the...
Oh, I thought we read that one. I apologize. Thank you. Okay. All right. Take that back. Our first reading of ordinance number 2021-R-028.
So moved.
I got a motion by Terry. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Okay. Motion to approve the second reading of ordinance resolution of our appropriation and tax rates of ordinance 2020-R-027.
So moved.
A motion by Matt, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved, thank you. Thanks for that. Our next ordinance is number 2021-OR-028. It's an ordinance establishing a three-way stop at the intersection of East St. Joe and Alabama Avenue. This is the second reading of that. And it sits there and states that whereas pursuant to Indiana Code 36-52-2, this town council of Sullivan, Indiana is the town legislative body and the president of the town council is the town executive. And whereas pursuant to Indiana Code 36-5-29, the legislative body may adopt ordinances and resolutions for performance of the functions of the town. Whereas pursuant to Indiana Code 9-21-1-2, a local authority may adopt all ordinance additional traffic regulations with respect to highways under the authority's jurisdictions, and whereas to pursuant Indiana Code 9-21-1-3, a local authority may regulate speed limits and traffic controls with respect to highways under the authority's jurisdiction, and whereas this council now desires to establish a three-way stop at the intersection of East St. Joe and Alabama Avenue. Therefore, it be ordained by the Town Council of Sullivan, Indiana, the following: the intersection of St. Joe Road and Alabama Avenue shall now be a three-way stop. The town manager or his designee is hereby directed to install the necessary stop signs with public right-of-way consistent with Indiana law and NDOT standards to satisfy the intent of this ordinance. This ordinance shall be in full force and effective upon its passage and prolongation as evident by the affirmative signatures but undersigned as the majority and duly elected and serving members of this council. Now, we got to this point so we could discuss moving forward what we wanted to do in such a case. So let's go on ahead and get through here and then we can.
Brad, I think there are a couple members of the public who did come to speak on this. I just want to double check if they want an opportunity to speak on this this ordinance related to that. I ask that you all open up the public comment again back on this item. Before we move forward, if you
okay, know. All right. Well, we will, with that said, then I ask for a motion to open up for a public hearing.
So moved.
A motion by Randy, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign, nay. Motion approved. All right. Here, here to have an open and public. So please state your name, and if you don't mind, I think, is there a pen up there?
Yes.
Okay. Just sign that, your name.
My name is Matt Scott. I live at 921 East St. Joe Road, which is at the, when you tee from Alabama into St. Joe, my driveway is straight ahead, and I am 100% for a stop sign. I want to slow everyone down. I've lived there for 10, 11 years, and everyone speeds on St. Joe. I don't see any negatives towards it. When Charlie reached out to me and said, hey, we're thinking about putting this in, I told him right away that I was for it. I've got little kids. I've got kids that are going to be driving next year, and pulling out is very dangerous. I don't see a problem whatsoever. Zero negatives against putting one in.
So your house sits right at where the intersection is going
yes.
to be.
So yes,
you're probably going to be impacted more than
anyone. Yeah, I mean, there's four homes. There's two that are in Alabama, and there's two that's on St. Joe. And there would be a stop sign directly in front of my house. And I have no problem with putting a stop sign there.
Okay.
I 100% don't want it.
So, Mr. Scott, go ahead, Randy.
Go ahead.
I'm not familiar, since that's my district, with your residence. Just for reference, when you pull out of your driveway and you make a left onto St. Joe, what is the level of difficulty for you to see oncoming traffic, for you to turn out of your driveway down the stretch? Is it very difficult for you to see traffic due to the blind hill? You describe that to me.
It's difficult when they're not doing the speed limit. I mean, I've pulled out and almost got hit several times. Now, when I pull out, I gun it and go. I hate driving through neighborhoods, and I only drive through Alabama because I hate turning left on 60. Like, to go to work and everything, I still go straight. Don't like going through the neighborhood, but turning left on 60 without a stoplight down there is dangerous. So I normally go straight.
And how long have you lived at your current residence?
I think 11 years, 10 or 11 years. But, you know, like last week, one night, I took 5 trips to the school for my kids. So that means I pulled out of my driveway 5 times and turned left to go pick them up. And it is dangerous with that little, I mean, it's not a big hill, but when people are going over the speed limit, it's dangerous. And I just want to slow people down.
Thank you. I don't have anything further.
Yeah, my question was, it's going to be a three-way stop. That's what the proposal is. So he's still, when he comes out of the end of his driveway, is that assumed as just a stop anyway? Because if we have a stop on St. Joe east and then west, and then we have one in Alabama, when he comes out of his driveway, he's not assuming a right-of-way, is he?
No, but by law, would you go from private property to public roadway, he would have to stop.
Okay.
The traffic that is already in the public roadway would have the right of way, and he would be secondary. So he just can't pull out of the driveway and execute whatever turns need to be turned.
Okay.
By law. And I'm sure Mr. Scott would adhere to the law.
Yeah, I understand that. I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that, because, you know, let's say he moves, next person may not understand that, you know. So, you know, I've never seen a stop sign at the end of private property.
Right.
But it's really, essentially, it's a four-way stop, not a three-way stop.
Right. And right now, and it happens more often, is if I'm coming out and somebody's coming down Alabama, we come at the same time, we just motion each other on.
Right.
So flashlights, whatever, or if I'm turning left, they're turning left, we'll both kind of go. Okay. But yes, that does happen more often.
In that case, the traffic on Alabama would have the right of way. If they were to meet there at the exact same time, the traffic on Alabama would have the right of way because they're already in the roadway at a stop sign.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Scott, thanks for coming. Appreciate
you, sir.
My one question would be, how aggravated are you going to be when people won't let you come out onto the road when they want to sit there and stop because they're trying to prove a point? I mean, that's just my one concern.
They'll get over it. They're slowing down. That's all I care about.
Okay. All right.
I've had a few choice words with drivers driving down the road.
Well, I'm sure you have.
And they fly. So yeah. I don't care. I mean, and my thing is, I bet you over 95% of the people that drive up that road are the same people every day. So they're going to get used to that stop sign. It's not like it's a new road for anybody. It's the same people every day. So when they first see the stop sign, I think we do need to put up a sign 300 or 400 yards down. Hey, stop ahead, you know, coming up, and then they're going to get used to it. I do think we need that because it's going to be something new. But like any of you all, once you see that one time, you're going to remember, hey, there's a new stop sign here. And everybody will slow down.
My next question was, from your perspective, Monday through Friday, what time you go to work?
I go to work at, I live at 6.
So you don't see the school traffic?
No, my wife does.
From your wife's perspective then, how many vehicles do you think go past your home from 6:45 to 8 o'clock?
If I'm guessing, there's hundreds. I don't know that number.
Right.
I bet you, I don't know. It's a couple hundred.
Right.
That go through there. Okay. And of course, the weekends are not as bad.
Right.
And the summers aren't as bad. It's the school traffic. And is there going to be a bottleneck possibly during school traffic? Yes. But the kids drive faster than the adults. Slow them down.
I'm not here, I mean, like I said, I took kids to school.
Right.
I completely understand. But I just want to make sure that everybody has their ducks in a row of what may, some of us may agree with and some of us may not agree with. Like I said, I've parked during my entire life and I didn't live over on that side of the town, but I understand with the way the traffic flows from seventh grade till, you know, kids start driving. And so I'm not going to sit there and disrespect any comment or anything about it. So, but okay, those were the two questions I had.
Okay.
So really appreciate you coming here.
No problem. I think it's a great idea. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Have someone else?
Bethany Gardner. I live at 1012 Alabama Avenue, so I'm the perspective from the Alabama side dealing with the stop sign when I pull out every day. I am in agreement with Mr. Scott 100% for the stop sign. We need to slow people down on that road. I have seen firsthand, I am home, currently working from home, I do see the school traffic. I have a 10-year-old son who plays out in the driveway, terrified if his basketball goes out into the street from people flying off of St. Joe down to Alabama. There are hundreds of cars that do go through at the school hours, all ages. You have parents dropping people off. You have kids flying through on cell phones, not on cell phones. You have construction vehicles, dump trucks, 18-wheelers. None of those can stop on a dime. I don't see a negative other than 30 seconds, 45 seconds at a stop sign, moving on, keeping it safe for everybody in the area. I have been out, as well as my father, trying to mow the easement. My dad came very close. You could not stick a piece of paper between him and the mirror of a vehicle. They don't slow down. They don't move over. It's like you are in their way and you are to move. If they're slowing down, at least acknowledging that stop sign, it's giving myself a little bit of time to get out of someone's way. If they are not going to stop at anything, what's to say they're even going to look up to slow down? So by having that stop sign, it's going to slow people down. It's going to keep people safe. And ultimately, that's what I'm concerned about is safety. I don't want a vehicle in my yard crashing into my house because they lost control, had to slam on brakes for something, or just drifted off the road going extremely fast. 30 is an understatement. They're easily doing 45, 50, sometimes even faster if I had to stand there with a radar gun, but just off of sight, it's way too fast to stop. If something rolls out in the street, someone goes out in the street, a pet, anything, they're not able to stop without a stop sign.
Excuse me, Bethany?
Yes, sorry.
What type of commercial traffic do you see on that road outside of a school bus? What's larger than a school bus that's on that road?
Well, there all the time are construction vehicles, large size dump trucks. You have a normal truck pulling a very, very long gooseneck trailer. I have seen semis going through there. I think they're lost.
Tractor trailers,
yes. Okay. And they are going through there, and they're not doing 30 miles an hour. So there is all types of vehicles outside of the school buses. Sometimes I'm even concerned with the school buses.
Right.
And the speed that they're going on that road, hitting bumps and all kinds of things. Definitely not going 30, but there are your fair amount of construction and tractor trailers going through too.
I was just curious, outside of the road construction and paving, what on a regular basis, what type of dump trucks would be going through there?
We have recently, I have seen a lot of gotta go dump trucks coming in and out. I'm not sure what job sites they're going to, but they're using St. Joe as a cut-through, I would assume, from a quarry or a drop-off, one point to another. They're going extremely fast. My brother does construction. He has said that he has almost been run off the road by other large vehicles going extremely fast, can't stay in their lane. And that's coming from someone who hauls trailers, drives large dump trucks, has all kinds of equipment with him as well. And he's 100% for it when I even mentioned it to him, so.
Right. I was just curious. I mean, that's a secondary road. There should be a weight restriction on that road.
You would think so.
Councilman, there is. As far as the semi-truck trailers, what we found, I had this conversation with one of the officers last week about some of these areas that we have posted weight limits. The weight limit signs are not to actually turn onto the road, and then there's really nowhere for them to go. Now, the local companies, I don't think there's an excuse. But some of the semi-truck trailers, you know, these guys are on their Garamond or whatever, GPS, saying turn here to get to the fastest route, and by the time they turn, you know, they're stuck on the road kind of thing. So that's a conversation I had with an officer last week. We're going to meet this week, come up with some ideas to kind of post those prior to the turn off on some of these weight limited roads, like Utica Street or St. Joe, things of that nature.
Scott? Well, I appreciate you coming in. The level of difficulty for you to turn left or right onto St. Joe, your perspective?
Left is much more difficult for me to turn coming out of my house at the stop sign that is currently at Alabama. Right, I can go, but like Mr. Scott said as well, I usually will accelerate around. But before accelerating, I'm still looking 3 and 4 times. Heading left is a little bit more scary and tricky in my perspective because it seems like they're right there before you even know it, and there's nowhere really to go except if I try to go into his driveway or something like that. But for me,
that's due to the blind.
Yes, the blind hill there. Just enough when you have people flying over that hill that cannot stop, that I'm afraid I will be victim of a T-bone accident or someone else is going to be potentially hurt due to that. Just enough of a severity.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. How many times has a vehicle gone down in that ditch over by your home?
I have been told, I've lived there 3.5 years, I have been told one time somebody did strike a telephone pole that's right by my shed. I was not home to witness it, I was at work. My neighbor was, my old neighbor, said he heard it and went out to take a look, and it was apparently a student who had been texting on his phone that drove his car right into the telephone pole and had to be towed out.
All right, okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, I need to close the public meeting. Yeah. Anybody else have anything else to say about three-way stop? Okay. All right, I ask for a motion to close the public meeting.
So moved.
Scott, second by Matt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Ask for a motion to continue back to our regular county council meeting.
So moved.
A motion by Scott, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Matt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same time, aye. Motion approved. Okay, we had two residents, both live right there at this intersection of St. Joe Road East and Alabama. They voiced their opinions. I thought maybe we might have a couple other people nearby that has voiced their opinions to me with some concerns. As well, Mr. Scott, he made a comment that he feels comfortable about being able to get in and out of this driveway. I know it was a concern maybe to some others moving down just the road a little bit. I think also one concern was where the stop sign was going to be placed in someone's yard. Those were the two conversations that I had with neighbors that live by in that vicinity area. So I just wanted to at least speak that upon their behalf and state making that statement.
I said, I think we do know that there is an issue and everything there in that intersection. Like I said, I was hoping we had some other information. And do you have some other information?
Mr. President, back in May, if you all remember, we had the St. Joe Road Bridge construction that I worked through with NDOT for them to revamp their schedule over there. And we did some traffic counts at that time. And this was back in, I think, early May. 12,000 cars a day ran through there. 485 of them were enforceable, quote, enforceable, which means they were exceeding speed limit by more than 5 miles an hour, more or less, I think is what they said.
How many was?
485. Then we followed up with that where we went to Dryer Lane, and the idea was St. Joe versus how many cars are coming, you know, roughly St. Joe to Dryer, off of St. Joe, and it was 8,800. So basically there were 3,400 cars unaccounted for that potentially went to the school who didn't duck off of St. Joe. Or that said, they could have gone north on Allentown as well. So again, you know, we got some residents out there on Allentown. So that said, I mean, I drive through there every day. I've not seen any traffic backups even during school time at the four-way interstop at Allentown and St. Joe. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen from the time to time, or maybe it's a two or three car queue cycle. From there, obviously the bigger issue is turning out from St. Joe on the 60, taking a left on 60, which obviously, if you know, that's a hairy situation until NDOT gets their stoplight put in out there. So again, just a little information for what it's worth.
Or anybody else have any comments or any thoughts?
Yes. In my mind, there were two people that were probably going to complain about this. Both of them are here in favor of it. I mean, that speaks loudly to me. I assume that the people that live right there would have complaints about traffic stopped. They can't get in and out of their driveway, maybe, or you're going to put a stop sign in my yard or whatever. And two of the probably three people that are impacted the most are here in favor of it.
Anyone else?
To that point, just real quick, just a distance point. So where the stop sign would go, if you're headed on St. Joe towards 60, where the sign would go, you'd have approximately 40 feet before there's a block, potential blockage of a driveway. Okay. There's a telephone pole there in front of one of the residents' house, which I think is Mr. Scott's neighbor, more or less where that telephone pole is, basically exactly where that stop sign would go. And then, like I said, if you back up from there, you've got about 40 feet until there's another driveway. So again, there could be the potential for a slight delay on that driveway there. Outside of that, I don't really see any other potential conflicts.
Okay, thank you.
Charlie, I know it's my district, and I've discussed it with various people. I'm 100% in support of that. I know we discussed some rumble strips or a stop ahead sign initially to warn drivers of a new traffic control area there. So I know that the supply chain and COVID has caused havoc with some of that equipment, but I'd like to see that in the future in that area. It is a residential area once you come into town there, so I'd like to see that if possible.
I think what the plan would be is we would go back a couple hundred yards. I had to look at the NDOT recommendation on distance from that about a stop ahead sign, coordinated with the rumble strips. I'm trying to source those now. Obviously the stop bars, they'd be thermoplastic, and we'd put the red flashing lights on top of the stop sign as well.
Thank you. That's it. I don't have anything else.
I just wanted to comment on what Scott said and what Charlie just brought up about the flashing lights. Several years ago, they made a three-way stop in Jeffersonville at Hamburg Pike. It was Hamburg Pike and Truckers Boulevard, and the people on Hamburg Pike did not stop at the stop sign ever until they put up the flashing, and you know, that really helped. Of course, some people And most of the people that ran the stop sign, people that live there, that it was just habit, they went through there. But I think the flashing lights are a really good idea, you know, and hopefully it's just a temporary thing till the locals get used to what's going on, you know. So that's a piece that I've seen personally through experiences there at Truckers Boulevard and Hamburg Pike. It was a terrible intersection, so they made a three-way stop there, and I think it's much safer now than it was in the past.
Brandy, I've had a lot of experience at that intersection. I'm glad you brought that up. These days, now the whole stop sign flashes red and white. I try to get Charlie to look in those for around town here. They're a little pricey, though.
Yeah.
How much light does that red little shining light bring out? Do you have any ideas?
It's like a beacon light. It's easy to see.
Yeah.
It's directional. It's a very directional contained light, so you see it more from a distance than you really like you. It's not a.
Oh, I mean, I've seen them out there, but I just wanted to discuss it, sit there and talk about it. I mean, you gonna have a problem seeing some big old flashing light in your front window time to time?
No. No different than fire, police going by, it's not gonna bother me.
Where are we talking about?
We're discussing ordinance for the three-way stop lights, stop sign.
At St. John?
I'm sorry, yes, ma'am. It's a little bit behind here. Do you have something you'd like to say about it?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry, I thought it was 6:30 when we had.
No, that's fine, but please just come up here and just sign your name on the sheet right there and just state your name afterwards, and we'll hear what you have to say.
Thank you, because I was under the impression it was 6:30. My name is Nancy Emery.
Nancy what, last name?
E-M-E-R-Y.
Good.
I live at 1010 East St. John Road. I've lived there for 67 years.
Good, all right.
I think I've and the oldest living person on that road. It used to be Daugherty Road. That being said, I don't think it takes an Einstein to know that traffic there on that road has changed terribly because of the residential areas around there. I am opposed to the stop sign because I don't feel like it'll enhance people running down that hill where I live to barrel out to 60. But if it's a safety thing and it proves to be a safety thing, I'm not opposed to it. I do applaud the opportunity to speak about safety in Sellersburg. I don't know why they don't have a turn light going on Utica Street from 31.
Well, we're not at that one when they rebuild it. When they rebuild the road.
When I see them putting up a three-way stop at St. Joe Road, I'm thinking to myself, there's more than one hazard in Sellersburg, Indiana. As far as people getting out of Hillendale, they've had three accesses a long time. They could go down and take the four-way stop on the other side. They can go by McDonald's. As far as I know, there's not been a wreck there. Now, I have a daughter that lives up the road, St. Joe Road, and that telephone pole has been hit like 8 times. 2 weeks ago, that was hit at 5:30 in the morning. I was up that morning drinking coffee and I heard this horrible crash or horrible sound. And I thought, well, what is that? Well, then the motor comes on down the road. They never did find, the police were called, never did find who was responsible. Safety. Okay, when the officers went to that point, Did any of them tell the two buses that were waiting there for a long time that they should have posted somebody at that Hillendale entrance then and said, hey, take another route? But no, those two buses sat there until that telephone pole was cleared. So yeah, there are safety issues in Sellersburg. I want to know, is there an ordinance about parking on the street? Because you go down Alabama, there's 14 cars on parked not in the driveway, they're on the street. There's a sign for a blind child, there's a sign for an autistic child. When they're letting those kids off those buses, they're going around those parked cars. So think about all your safety issues.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Appreciate your time.
I'd like to come to us for another look at the issue. Probably a little bit
down my alley of, I'd like to try it and see what it would be like. I mean, I'm not so to say I'm sold on it because, like I said, I've never seen it. Don't want to get killed, thank goodness, and no serious accident. But that telephone pole, you're not a kid. I don't know why I think so close to it. But once again, I think you're in the county.
No, that's town.
Okay, oh, you're on this side of the road. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, pardon me, yeah. So that was just one of the thoughts that I am. Thanks. So I really appreciate you coming and letting us be able to hear your thoughts as well. So with that being said, does anybody else have any other discussion or thoughts? Okay. Now, like I said, I'd like to see what it is like. I don't want to sit there and make this in stone, but I am willing to give it a try. Just because I think it's going to cause a little bit of issue, but it's going to make people get up a little bit earlier and get their kids to school, because I think that's a lot of the problem. And I think that at the end of the day, I think we'll realize within the next probably 3 months whether or not this is right or wrong and moving forward. With that said, I ask for a motion I guess a vote. I mean, I'd rather do it a single vote than a regular vote on what you all want to do with this ordinance 2021-OR-028.
I'll make a motion to approve the three-way stop at St. Joe and Alabama.
I'll second that. Second by Mac. No other discussion. Okay. All in favor? I'm going to vote.
Aye.
Okay. You yes or no?
Aye.
Matt?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Okay. I'm an aye. So, all right. 5-0 will give us a try. See what happens. For those that might get aggravated about this, we're trying our best to do more things for a safety perspective than do something to try to prevent someone getting aggravated about this conception or whatever it may be. So, all right.
Ma'am, I'll pass along your extra patrol request to the chief of police in regards to parking enforcement and speed enforcement as well. I'll make sure, and just so people understand, is the town of Sellersburg, and I think we've probably said this about 17 million times since my first council meeting, we have no control over 31 out here.
Oh, really?
That is all controlled by the state of Indiana. We're trying to work to make the conditions. They have plans for road improvements in the future. I know I get just as frustrated as the next person driving those roads. Dealing with NDOT has gotten a lot better over the last couple of years. But again, we are at their mercy when it comes to certain road improvements within the town of Sellersburg. And a lot of people just don't know who controls those roads. But we're working Every council member up here has worked and had conversations with NDOT. Mr. Smith has probably spent a good portion of his time to, and I'll keep explaining it to everyone that asks. And just like you, I want to see a nice, wide, smooth road through town, and we're working to get that done. So I think there's some improvements coming up in the near future that are temporary, that'll make it a little bit more bearable. And I think in several years, you're going to see a beautiful finished product of 31. I know it's been a long time, and a lot of people are frustrated. I understand that. But everyone is trying to fix that. So just so you know, for the future, in case you talk to anyone, you'd be informed as well. Thanks for coming, though.
All right, moving right on along, we have no unfinished business. We tabled our new business for this evening. So any other comments from the public? Okay. All right, our staff reports. Charlie, the town manager, has a few things I know to share.
Yeah, so speaking of 31, obviously with the 31 project getting finished in 2023, I had a lot of conversation with NDOT about parts of that roadway that are currently failing. After they've done their engineering review, they agreed that it needs to be addressed, and waiting until 2023 is not ideal for that road service and for safety of travel. So what they're doing, starting this Friday at 10 p.m., Friday night to 5 a.m., Monday morning, there will be intermittent lane closures and whatnot. They'll be working through the weekends to basically address some of those issues and do a mill and repave project on 31 from Prather to Utica Street. So that'll kick off this Friday. Related to hydrant flushing system, you may have seen crews out here the last couple of weeks. We completed our hydrant flushing program for the fall. Look to renew that in the spring. We're also reviewing that internally about taking that to potentially a three-time-a-year process instead of just two. We worked the system over pretty hard here this last time, so should be seeing some improvements there. As far as the hydrant replacement program, as you know, you all approved that $450,000 back in July. We've got three replaced. We've got three more slated. They are 10 weeks on order for additional hydrants. So right now the company is sourcing what hydrants they can find from different parts or different contractors and different municipalities they have relationships with. So we continue moving forward on that project. But the supply line on these things is a struggle. So again, I don't know if we're gonna get pushed back. I know we had a goal about December 31st of having 50% of the hydrants completed. I don't know if we'll hit that. And there was a contingent in the contract on that due to supply chain stuff. So it's within the contract. While disappointing and not ideal, it's not gonna affect the contract as far as time of completion. So again, we've got them on order, just waiting for the product and materials. That goes back to the white paint. I know we talked about this before on traffic marking with these stop signs. Obviously, before, I'm not gonna have these stop signs out until I get all the materials. I'm not gonna piecemeal it together with the stop bar without having the rumble strips, or having the rumble strips without the stop bar, or not having the stop sign with that red light. I mean, if we're gonna do it, I wanna do it all, just obviously from a safety standpoint. So we'll get all that stuff on order, and as soon as they come in, we'll get these out here on St. Joe.
Yes, sir. Going back to the fire hydrants, mm-hmm. And you said that there's some coming in, they're trying to source some other ones. Just for clarification, they're all gonna be the same color, same operating type fire hydrants that the fire department can,
yes, sir,
work with, so everything's cool. And we're actively having conversations with Tri-Township, and they're up to speed on everything that we're doing as well.
Yeah, it's Tri-Town as well, City of Jeffersonville Fire Department as well. I had a conversation with Mike McCutcheon, who's a fire marshal over in Jeff, last week about some potential adapters and things like that. I guess one of the neighborhoods that we took over down to Jeff, they have multiple different types of fire hydrants in there. I guess the threads, some of them are 4-inch, some of them are 4.5. So we've had some conversation about some of the hydrants that are in good shape that we're not replacing, if the threading on them is funny, looking about just going ahead and work with them by getting whatever adapters it is that they need. So typically those hydrants will be color coded in some way, shape, or form for flow and different things. So again, we're working through all that right now.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Couple announcements, trick or treat this Sunday, rain or shine, from 6 to 9 p.m. is Town of Sellersburg's trick or treat for Halloween, because Halloween is on the 31st. So that's when trick or treating will be. This Wednesday night, you got the United Methodist Church down here on New Albany Street. They're having a trunk or treat from 6 to 7:30 on Wednesday. And then Friday, at the McDonald's parking lot, you've got the car club up there. They're doing their trunk or treat from 5 to 8 p.m. One other item, and I'll ask for the council approval on this. As we go through working on locates for the water utility, we have some areas of town that our water system, whether the mapping is old or construction projects, points of reference have changed over time, making sure, kind of doing a double check, triple check on water location of the utility. There is some companies that have availability to do some ground penetrating radar on stuff. Some of these lines are old. Some of them are not that old, but they're PVC and there's no tracer wire on them, so finding them is difficult to get an accurate mark on these things. In those cases, what I would ask, I've got three pricing from three different companies, Pinpoint being the least expensive at $150 an hour. I have a second one that's on the spot, which is $150 an hour, 2 hour minimum. Then I have a third one at GPR, and they're a flat rate of $500. What I would ask the council to do is approve those three as a low on call response for locates that we have trouble on, so we can make sure we're getting accurate locates on some areas of our water line.
Okay. All right,
With that being said, I ask for a motion for trying to continue to move forward with resourcing some of our location utility work outside.
So moved.
A motion by Matt, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion?
Charlie, do they guarantee when they locate in the future, so if something were to happen and a water line gets hit after they locate or try to attempt to, do they guarantee their work in case the town suffers any damages or loss that they will be able to replace them?
Yes, and again, we have a lot of directional drilling going on in town, and we have had several lines hit. It's what it is. So there was one on Friday that happened. You pop open the meter pit, it was a service line. Looked like it kind of ran straight at a 90-degree angle to the main. We marked it as such. The company comes through, they're drilling. Typically what they will do is when they get to the crossing, they will hydro-excavate that to identify and locate that line. They hadn't got there yet because the line actually went out and turned. And it, at a 45-degree angle, ran up 3 feet. So they hadn't actually got to that mark to hydro-excavate and identify the location, so they hit a service line. Again, it's those type of items that we're running into. With some of these things, some of the projects that are going up and down within the 31 right-of-way, which some of our major mains are on some of this stuff that are very, very deep. They've been moved over time. The road has been moved over time. The road was the reference point. So again, this is a situation where myself or Bill in the field, Bill Rigdon, in the field feels necessary to kind of a double check, triple check situation. We want that opportunity to call this company or one of these three companies, depending on the availability.
So Charlie, you said earlier that you assumed that the line went straight when you just made that statement that when you were looking at it. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but why would they put a 45 in it? Any reasoning for that?
It was a piece of half-inch PVC line that, I don't know, was put in 35 years ago. I have no idea.
But, wouldn't it have made sense to just make it straight?
It would.
Okay. Just a question. No liability on your part.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So like you said,
why is that easier?
Within 30 years that water meter could have been straight out from that location at some point, and they came out and moved it. Okay. For some reason, maybe it was right next to Jim O'Neill, maybe they moved the parking lot. There's no telling on some of that stuff. So, our the large mains are. The issue is where some of the secondary lines coming off of are. Because you'll get into them where there's a double meter and a pit. And locating where those service lines are, because we are responsible from the main to the meter. So locating some of those things, and again, once they are located, we do not have to go back and locate them again now that we have the online software, and we can update that accurately.
So in our, and we had, a few years ago, we had spent quite a bit of money on having the water lines mapped. I do remember that. So something like that that just got hit on Friday was not properly mapped or marked. Is that what you're...
That was not, because it's a service line. It was on the main.
Okay. All right. Then. I'm just trying to get an understanding on it. Because people ask me about water all the time, and I'm like, I have to refer them to yourself or Bill.
No, that, you know, we had one two Saturdays ago that was hit. Again, it was marked properly. You know, but they got hit.
Right.
You know, we'll address that with the company accordingly. But again, this is an effort to go a step above and beyond. I prefer no lines get hit. And anything that we can do to improve our mapping, I think, is at the benefit of everybody involved.
And let alone we utilize four employees and a contractor, you know, all that day when they had other obligations, you know, to do. So, I mean, I just think this is a great opportunity for us moving forward to get our ducks in a row and make sure that we're all covered. So that's all I have to say about it. So thanks for cooking to the next direction. So, all right, anything else?
Did we vote on that? Did you all vote on that?
We had first and second. We've been kind of redone with discussion. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay.
All right, and then paving. Again, we've reached on 31. Obviously, if you've been around town, there's some roads that are milled. They're revamping some signage as far as timing. Most notably, Parallel Street from Linwood north to Foothill will be postponed a little bit due to a pretty significant amount of work that needs to be done on Parallel. So they're going to continue on with the rest of Parallel from Foothill north to K. And then the rest of the streets throughout there. Had a conversation with them about the street marking and the white paint, some of the thermoplastic stuff, trying to get some of that and source that to get that stuff done. Once they get done with this round of paving, they will be moving to the section of Utica Street from Utica to Dryer to work on that. Again, that's going to be about a month-long process of concrete repair, storm drain resets, to get the storm drain set where they need to be so where everything drains properly, as well as some storm pipe removal. And once they get wrapped up with this, they'll be going back to Parallel on that section from Foothill to Linwood to get that section completed. So, and talking with JTL today, we're still within the change order allotment amount on this stuff, even though we've picked up quite a bit of extra work and repair within here. So I still think we're still pretty good on everything.
Anything else?
I think that's all.
I think what we're seeing on some of a lot of these older subdivisions and areas that you know, it just was pavement over pavement over pavement. And now I think I think we're doing the right thing by correcting it now instead of just trying to band-aid it. I think we all agreed that you know we're going to do our best to within the funds that we have to move forward. So, but I appreciate everybody's hard work on that. So.
And with that, Michelle, we'll need to, depending on that, the schedule of this stuff, we'll need to encumber funds for this year for next as it relates to this. So once we get those numbers and know what that'll look like on the schedule, we'll have to get that lined up.
Charlie, I have a quick question.
I hopefully have a quick answer.
Okay, I'll slow it down for you then so you can fully understand it. The millings, like they took off,
yes.
The street that I'm on, it took off two full layers of millings. Do they reuse the millings, or how's that patent come back? Do we use any piece of that product? Does it make it more
expensive? They'll recycle it at their asphalt plant.
But we don't know that we're getting ours back, though, do we? No, I'm just kidding there, but I was just curious, because people ask me, well, what do they do with the millings? I'm like, I guess they recycle it. You know.
Yeah, typically it'll be recycled in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Josh, JT Hope, do you have anything for us tonight?
Couple water and storm sewer quote packages going out here over the next couple of weeks, but nothing other than that.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Sewer plant update?
It is rocking and rolling. I'm not the guy to give that update, I apologize. I'm not overly involved in that one, but I will get you an update.
We did have a meeting last week, a status update meeting at sewer plant. We're moving along over there. They're revamping the schedule a little bit, and the team's working well together with Jim Haggerty, with JTL, out there, as well as our team, and Pace and everything, so we're moving along.
There was concerns about things they needed not getting here in time because of delays.
And I think we're going to run into that. We're running into that across the board, whether it be stuff we're doing, stuff this contractor's doing with sewer plant, paint. I mean, it's across the board,
yeah,
and so
it's
supply chain.
It's
so we now have the vice president of Pace who's actually working on our project, and they are maneuvering some of their schedules to make up those differences so we don't fall behind.
Okay, so thank you.
We should be still on schedule.
Thank you.
All right. Jake, you have anything to add tonight?
Just a couple quick things. Last month, you had voted, you know, we had retained AFP to go ahead and file suit against 31 contractor a couple years back, finally getting that going. That contractor was Star Construction. As you all know, Mr. Zeller is our bond counsel. He's with Frost, Brown, and Todd. And we know that they are a large outfit, a large law firm. Star Construction is also represented by Frost. He was obligated to reach out and ask if we would waive conflict. I told him, you know, no, we wouldn't. But at the same time, I wanted to take it before the board just to get an official vote. I would not recommend waiving conflict to have them. And he fully anticipates you all voting it down, but at the end of the day, it's just kind of procedure. So if one of you would entertain a motion to not waive conflict, I can report back to him on that issue.
I would make a motion to not waive the
I'll say.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you.
And then the last thing for tonight, just following up on what Mr. Smith has reported here, you know, we've had a couple, you know, directional borings that have hit our water lines and other assets. With your vote tonight, just for me to, should it be necessary, to issue demand letter and or lawsuits to recover any, you know, any losses or damages if it is not the town's fault or anything else. And I'll work with Mr. Smith to make sure that we try to recover everything we can.
I'll make that motion.
Yeah, motion by Matt. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved.
Nothing else.
Nothing else? Okay. All right. I think the last time I started down here, Randy, you have anything to add to this evening?
Yes, I have a couple of things. Just to make Charlie listen to me. Tommy, you don't like to listen to me very much. But at any rate, I'm really happy with things were going. I got a lot of positive feedback. Got some questions about the paving and some of the paving. I guess the weather, rain has can slow it down. You know, people ask me for a date when a completion is going to be, and I'm like, you know, we can set a day. It wouldn't be Thursday because it's supposed to pour down rain. So hopefully it can be, you know, any day in between. So just be patient. Paving's coming. It's going to be nice, and really excited about it. It's going to make the town look better and better. And the only other thing I would really that's on my mind is the trick or treaters and the people driving. Hopefully, we have a nice police presence out, and just be diligent, slow down, watch out for the kids this weekend. And that's it.
Matt, you got anything? Matt, you have anything?
Just want to congratulate the Soda Creek girls winning regionals. Now they're going to Summit State this upcoming week. So, other than that, that's about it.
Okay. All right. Scott?
How come I never get to go first? Randy always goes first.
No, I just like to thank, sometimes we don't get to recognize them enough, but our partners in JTL, those that come out here and pave these streets, make all the repairs, the work Charlie does, the work his crews for the town do. I know it seems like a long, frustrating process, but they're out here every day working to make this town better, more beautiful. And sometimes they don't get mentioned enough, and I like to take the time to thank those town employees. It's tough out there. Workforce is not what it was. It's hard to find people to show up and come to work every day, even in my profession sometimes. So I ask people to be patient, and I think we're going to get where we need to be. It may just take a little bit longer, or we may have to wait on some supplies, but in the long run, I think we're going to be a lot better off in the future. So I just like to take a moment to thank those people. Be safe this weekend. I know I have a couple large neighborhoods in my district. Kids will be out there, so take your time. Parents, make sure you stick with your kids and put the proper reflective stuff on them so they don't get lost and dart in and out of traffic. And I think our residents know we have great police support. I know the chief has all his people out. So should be a fun weekend. I won't be here, so Michelle, save all my candies, put it in my box if you don't mind. But thanks to you guys for what you do every night. Appreciate it.
Thank you for that. All right. Terry?
Yeah. The paving on Greenwood is completed. It looks fantastic. I know we're still waiting on white paint and all that good stuff to come along, but the paving looks fantastic. They did a great job. The water valve replacement at Emerald and Celesta is complete, as well as two hydrants in our area. So, and my water right now, thanks to you and everybody involved in flushing the hydrants, our water looks better right now than it has in a very long time. So kudos to you on that. And there's a time, I don't know what the time change is, but it's coming like next week. It's going to be dark at 5 o'clock. So, yeah, so everybody just be careful with, like he said, about the kids. And see you in the spring.
That's right. Okay. Like everybody else sitting there says, we've got the pavement. I get compliments all the time. I get suggestions from other folks out there. They'd like to see things done maybe a little bit differently, or us to take up, take things in consideration. Charlie and I, we had this instance right here earlier last week, close to the end of the week, conversation over at Linwood and Parallel. And so I was glad that we was able to take care of an issue and a problem. So it goes to show how well teamwork is working. With that being said, our guys, I've watched some water going everywhere. I mean, I know it's supposed to start getting cold, and poor old Kevin, man, he ain't gonna want to get wet, but I mean, I appreciate what our town employees are doing as far as this water issues and the repairs and things. It does go a long way. I know our police department guys are all coming in during after hours and 4 hours of work and getting ready and getting excited about getting into the new department that we provided and supported. So I think that's a great opportunity as well. Schools are doing well. Athletes are being a lot of accomplishments and things like that. So it's great to see that. I know it's exciting to see the kids coming out, give them candy. They don't ever come down to my street very often, but I do. We walk two different neighborhoods, and we really enjoy seeing all the kids. So I'm always taking a Tootsie Roll or something from somebody. But at the end of the day, I really think that, we're almost in 2 years of our term right here, and I think we've done a lot for the town of Sellersburg and for the residents of our town that we call home. It was exciting that Charlie and NDOT was willing to come to some sort of support of helping us here from Dairy Queen to Utica Street. You're seeing some dirt being moved, and you're going to see a lot more dirt being moved over Camp Creek, Camp Run area. Here we've got a lot of exciting things that are coming about. Like I said, there's some people who will be disappointed and some people will be mad about this three-way stop. But let's give it a chance. Let's see what it does
and let's find out what the impact it makes moving forward. But once again, we've been looking into some different things, personnel, things like that. So I thank to Michelle's and Robin for what they've done to be able to give us some information. I know the girls in Billing, they know it's going to be getting cold. So people will be mad because we're going to be shutting off their water, and getting the turn back on. So just understand the importance of where we're moving forward here with the town. So I just really appreciate everybody understanding that we are doing our best and utilizing the dollars that we have. This is probably the biggest budget, this town has had moving forward, and hopefully it continues to keep increasing thanks to people moving into our area. So let's all have a happy face on and enjoy what little bit of fall left we have and moving forward. But again, I thank everybody as well for all their continued support and desire to make Sullenberg a better place to live. So that's all I have to say. Michelle, you have anything to say?
Good, thank you.
All right. With that, I asked for adjournment. So moved. Motion by Matt, that was second.
Second
by Terry. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
7:07. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming tonight.